Good morning. Today is Friday, July the 1st, 184th day of the new year. Joining us this morning is Eureka City Manager Greg Sparks. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Brian.
Notice how we start on the button around here now. Okay, nobody else did, but I certainly did. Oh, let's see if we can find a cool quote. 4th of July. That might be like kind of like independence, huh? No, I found Irish. That's not going to help out too much. Independence, injustice,
you're
inevitable.
Always so well prepared for this.
I know. This is called cool stuff. Okay, here's independence. It may not be Independence Day, but it's independence. Ah, John Adams. Okay. On his deathbed, which would be, let's see, 209 years ago. 190 years ago. I'll work on the math during the break. Anyway, Mr. Adams, President Adams said, quote, independence forever.
I agree with that.
That works. Yeah, my math skills obviously are just soaring to the top of life right now. So, new year. Happy new year. All that kind of stuff. Any significant changes for the greater citizens of Greater Eureka for fiscal year 16-17 than 15-16?
Well, yeah, our city council approved our 16-17 budget our first meeting in May. We got a little earlier start on it this year. We didn't come right down to the wire, kind of last meeting in June, getting a budget approved. And we also, basically staff-wise, started working on it earlier. And the good thing for 16-17, I mean, it's not like we're all flush with money and the economy is, you know, just doing gangbusters. But
I don't think that's been a concern from anybody.
But we do continue to see increased revenues in occupancy tax, sales tax, and the number.
Sales tax, really?
Yes.
Automotive sales primarily driving.
Automotive has certainly continued to be a driver, has been for several years. But general retail, restaurants doing well. But the only sector that has been down from a sales tax standpoint are fuel sales, with lower fuel costs. The sales tax on fuel.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting because if we would have gone back 3 years ago, there would be more empty storefronts today, an indicator of business challenge, than there was 3 years ago. I mean, the old town, downtown core, there's, you know, you can almost find one every block, which I would think would be an indicator of something, but it's not in this case. That's interesting.
But we're seeing strong sales tax in the whole Broadway corridor, the mall, Costco, you know, the big box businesses, and Henderson Center is a good performing retail area.
Do you do historical trends by zones?
Yes, we do. We do have our zones, and we work with HDL that, you know, for some time in terms of kind of tracking our quarters and what's happening in zones and, you know, what are well-performing areas. So.
It's 8:19.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with City of Eureka City Manager Greg Sparks. Greg, you were talking a little bit about how the retail sector seems to be holding its own up a couple of ticks in Eureka, in spite of what we might see. And I suppose that's probably the safest way to say it. How close do you guys watch things like retail business licenses or month-to-month, week-by-week sales? I mean, do you guys have kind of like a beat the day like retailers do?
No, we don't have that kind of access to information in terms of their day-to-day because, you know, that gets reported into the state. We look at it on a quarterly basis, though, and as well as then looking back at those historical trends, and then we also have projections going forward for the next several years in terms of what to expect. And we'll really be able to track where, you know, is it going to meet those kind of trends that HDL is projecting. They look at both statewide trends as well as then what we're seeing in Eureka and kind of in the greater Humboldt County area.
So as you look at those trendings that happen in I guess it would just be in tax-generating niches.
Mm-hmm.
If you see something, do you act on it? Or do you just go, okay, and make allowances for it?
Well, certainly if you saw, if the projection was out there that, boy, well, like say Sports Authority, okay, you know you're going to lose some sales tax revenue there. If you have a few of those, it starts showing a negative trend, they're going to really impact the sustainability of our budget, then right, we're not going to wait until we get right up to the cliff before deciding what to do. We're going to have to start making some mid-course correction as soon as we know.
You know, I think I just saw some experience rearing its head. You felt the hook being set before you answered. Question I've got. Okay, the city has got economic development.
Yes.
Okay. Do they react to these numbers? Do they start to do things on a short term, quick fix, mid range, long term? What is it that the city does to try to attract business, particularly if you see a trend in one direction or the other? I mean, you could sell either way.
Mm-hmm.
Opportunities because this guy's going out, or hey, look, business is taking off. Don't you want a piece of it to get people into the area?
Certainly, we have both, kind of as you said, short, medium, and longer term goals in economic development. When we meet with HDL on that quarterly basis, Rob Holman, our director of development services, is in on those meetings so that he sees and understands the trends going on in sales tax, as well as we also have an annual meeting with them what property taxes are doing. So certainly the department has an understanding of what is happening within that market. And we continue to have, you know, several major projects that we're trying to work on from a overall community economic vitality. It's the waterfront C to F area. It's the cold storage. You know, we've completed a cold storage study, and now it's a matter of trying to get EDA funding or a combination of some EDA and private funding to put in a cold storage facility.
The city doing that or private?
You know, our preference would be private, but it may be some type of a public-private partnership to make that happen.
And particularly with the shrimp and the oysters and everything going on in the area.
Yes.
And those growing, you would think that there would be demand for that, mm-hmm. kind of like the old days. Sorry, I'm going back.
Just but, like the old days.
I mean, yeah. The stuff you're talking about are all things that we've had there.
Yeah.
It's kind of bringing them back, so to speak,
mm-hmm.
which is nice that the demand might be there.
Yes, and that loss of cold storage has had an impact on the fishing fleet, as well as the whole cold storage study showed that there are other uses, some that you need to segregate from seafood, obviously, but there's certainly a demand and should be, could be a profitable business here.
So is the challenge with that particular site the zoning and the state and federal regulatory overlays, or is it just attracting somebody here and showing them, look, guys, we have these needs. If you want to step in, there's profit to be made.
Yeah, it really isn't so much a regulatory issue because it is kind of a coastal dependent use, and it really it needs some decent dock space access to at least to fish. You don't really want it you know, 10 blocks away or something where it has to then be trucked. I mean, that wouldn't be the preference.
So are people lining up for that, or are you lining people up to,
you know, I wouldn't
to
say
knock on their doors?
There have been a few people knocking on the door, looking at the study, and I think kind of checking out some places. So
there's hope.
There is hope, absolutely.
Is the Fisherman's Building, or whatever that complex is, referenced in general at the foot of C?
C, yeah.
Is that performing the way that it was intended? Is it doing what it's supposed to, or was what it initially was envisioned to do?
Yeah, I think so. I was just down there last week talking to Wild Planet. They're just seeing tremendous growth. They'd like more space. And I think I was down at the concert last night. It looked like Jack Seafood was doing very well there. We're on a concert night.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:30. We'll be back with more with Greg Sparks.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Greg Sparks, City Manager of Eureka, Talk Shop presented by Redek and by CDH Painting. Greg, before, in the first segment, you were talking a little bit about the overall health of this upcoming budget year, with the exception of one area, gas tax. Okay, now the state has kind of set it up because I think they thought, much as they thought that real estate would continue to go upward forever, that gas revenues would continue to go up forever. Surprise, surprise, technology rears its ugly head because of the marketplace. And now it ain't happening. Okay. Mm-hmm. How has that impacted the city of Eureka? How much gas tax dollars are not there that were there? Well, let's go back to our trend, a 10-year window.
And there's kind of two things here that relate to fuel sales. There's the state gas tax, and we get a local share of state gas tax revenues, and from highway user tax fund, and that's our primary revenue source for street maintenance and, you know, street reconstruction type projects, overlays, and those dollars, because of during the recession, people quit driving as much. And then, as you said, with technology, more fuel-efficient vehicles. So we've seen an overall erosion, particularly the last couple of years, of a couple hundred thousand dollars. And that's not, you know, and that's in real dollars. That's not even any kind of inflation adjustment. And then there's the local sales tax on fuel that we've seen a decrease in. So, yeah, good for the consumer for lower gas prices. I like paying $2.69 versus $4, no doubt about that. But it seems like statewide there needs to be some better solution. And that's we had a recent council meeting where we had some from kind of talking about one of the pilot things the state is looking at is basically a mileage tax. And it's a way of getting at so the electric vehicles pay their fair share and quite a more way to maybe balance out what the revenue stream is. I don't know if that's going to go or not.
Not the big
maybe
brother some, might be in there. Now he's going to be in your vehicle too?
That would always be a concern to people. But here's what we did in City Eureka. Because we've had this erosion of the gas tax dollars and basically our Public Works Street Maintenance Division has become basically totally dependent upon that, whereas in past, going back in past years, they had general fund allocation there as well. But, you know, that general fund allocation kind of, again, probably since dried up during the recession years, and where, you know, public safety has taken the larger share of the city budget. But we were able to take put in $250,000 of general fund dollars into street maintenance in this upcoming budget. That's basically what it does. That it just helps get us back to even of where we were, where we've been with gas tax dollars. It's not like that's going to allow us to, you know, suddenly do more than what we've been able to do.
5 years ago, gas prices were about where they are now. I heard a story indicating that, that national, okay, so it might be a little bit different locally. Maybe it was 6-7 years ago. You know, some were budgets then suddenly based on this $4 and $5 a gallon? Instead of saying, you know, this is going to be an anomaly, it's not going to hold, or let's at least give it 5 years to see if it is going to be a temporary or if it's going to be a permanent situation before spending everything and setting budgets based on that?
Boy, I'm not real sure how I would answer other than I don't know if anyone's been very good at predicting gas prices in the last 10, 20 years.
Right, so you play it hard conservative, right?
we always try to budget conservatively. You know, from the state standpoint, when that's, and since that's our revenue source, you kind of you ride the ups and downs of that. In a
so the state percentage of the total monies for road maintenance is higher than what the local input is.
Yeah, I guess I'm not sure what you're asking there.
The funds from Jerry,
yeah,
represent a higher percentage of the budget that goes towards road maintenance than sales tax that happened within the city boundaries of Eureka.
Yes. You know, I remember looking back at a budget from the mid-1980s when Stockwell was city manager.
Yeah, and there were bears at the zoo.
Yes, but, you know, in his management letter to the council, he made the point that we're not putting enough money into street maintenance and we're falling behind. We were putting more money in 30 years ago than what we are right now. So not even adjusted for inflation. So we've continued to see that deterioration in local roads. I mean, and this has been going on for at least the last 30 years. So what are the solutions that are out there? Coming out of HCOG, going to the cities, is the proposal for a half-cent sales tax to fund just basically roads and street maintenance throughout Humboldt County. That half-cent, and it's based on a formula. City of Eureka would get $3.3 million annually in dollars to go towards street maintenance. That would be a this issue will be up with City Council on Tuesday night, whether to approve placing that on the ballot. But it seems to be some pretty good support from the Humboldt County communities and Humboldt County to put this issue on the ballot for the voters to decide. And because it's a specific tax, it'll take a two-thirds vote. Some surveys showed pretty good public support for this, but still it's going to be key to, you know.
How much is the total out of the local economy? You said $3 million for Eureka.
$3.3 million. $10 million,
what's the total?
$10 million countywide.
KINS, News and Information Times, 842. We'll be back with more from Greg Sparks.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. Little Susie Sunshine is here along with Greg Sparks. I feel like all I'm doing is drag an anchor on this one. Greg, one ray of sunshine,
yeah,
going with that analogy. The East-West Rail study has been funded partially. Is the city going to step up and pay a percentage of that to help get this study done? Are you guys excited about what it might mean to connect the coast, the coast to the rest of the country, basically?
You know, at this point, the council has not committed to provide any matching funds, you know, for the East-West rail study. I guess they've secured a Trinity County has secured a $276,000 Caltrans grant. Harbor District has kicked in $10,000 towards that. I know they'll be going to a number of entities. And I would assume, you know, some of the privates, the ag producers, unions, I mean, you know, may be in on part of that. I think it's been a.
Is staff going to recommend that the city steps up?
This is I tell you, this is going to be strictly a policy decision by the city council. They discussed it a fair amount at our last strategic planning session. At that time, the council, the majority of the council, took the East-West Rail off of the city's strategic plan.
Really?
Yes.
So when we talk about economic development and the potential thereof, the council is going to walk away from something that could be a major component of future economic health?
Well,
that's kind of a gutsy position to take.
And I think from the majority of the council's opinion on it is that they don't think it's going to happen.
Well, we certainly have a speckled history of taking that attitude, and lo and behold, it doesn't. You know, we can go back to, well, there's all kinds of opportunities that have been there that the council's kind of turned its back on. If people are wanting the city to step up, even just a fair share, what's most effective, an email, a letter? How do we get the city council to understand that perhaps some of us are interested in exploring this opportunity for $5,000?
Yeah, I really never go out and give advice on how to lobby the council, but sir, the council listens to,
emails are okay.
Emails are great.
Okay.
Emails are great to get to the council.
Stay tuned, folks. Thanks for coming by, Greg.
Thank you, Brian.
Happy 4th of July, everybody. See you on Monday.